So at the time of recording this episode, sorry, my microphone was like slightly far away. At the time of recording this episode, Kelly and I are 2 days away from running the Tough Mudder just outside of Philly. And before you ask, yes, it will be our entire personality when we're done.
No way.
That doesn't surprise me.
I believe it.
I'm still very up in the air. I imagine it's going to be a ton of fun. I have no expectations.
It's way less involved in a tough mudder. Yes, yeah.
I like the climby stuff and the obstacles and the muddiness. As long as I don't have to like.
Mm-mm. No, when I did mine distance. In September, the only thing that really drained me was like climbing up muddy ass hills. Because I was just like, hell yeah, let's do it. And I climbed one hill and I was like, well, I'm not doing that part. Fuck that. The rest of it was great. I loved it.
I did a tough mudder when I was like, I think it was 18 at the time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
Mark, have you ever done a tough mudder?
I did a savage race. 7 years ago or something like that, which is basically the same thing. I mean, it has obstacles and stuff like that. It's just that it all depends on who's sponsoring it technically, which I think Savage Race was Air Force Reserve. Mm. But it's the same thing. And yeah, there wasn't that much of a stretch of running. I remember, I think the longest stretch was like a quarter mile, but it was constant like obstacle, then obstacle, obstacle, and then like short burst and then obstacle.
Yeah, there was a lot of waiting in lines for obstacles.
Yeah, I definitely had to deal with that too. One thing that's cool is that like, when I did mine in September, it was like my very first one. I went like by myself. It was sort of just like a to see if I could do it thing, you know, just to kind of prove to myself and everything. Because you know I'm over 30, so I got to challenge myself now and push myself. But one thing that I thought was cool was that. They have a thing where they're like, you need to challenge yourself. Like, if you're here, you already know that you're, like, pushing yourself to your limit. Like, that's what we want you to do. But there's also no shame in coming up to an obstacle and being like, I can't do that. And just walking around. There'll be certain people where there's, like, an obstacle where they have, like, live wires, like, hanging down. And you get shocked with, like, so many thousand volts or something like that. And they're like, if you have a pacemaker, don't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. You know, if you know that this is like detrimental to your health, then don't do it. But you know, like there's like plenty of times where like some people just can't, and then they're just like, I got to step away from this, and then they're like, yeah, go ahead, like just you know, you pushed yourself, you tried this, like you stepped in. It's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do they have a lot of heights stuff?
Yeah.
I remember when I was. For the Savage Race, I did that. I think the one I couldn't do and I just skipped was the chain link fence. Like, you had to sideways scale it across, like, 50 feet or something like that. And I just, like, for some reason, I couldn't get my feet to fit into the links. And I was just like, you know what? I just can't fucking do this. Which, honestly, the one that I remember I thought I was going to have a lot of issues, which were, like, monkey bars going at, like, a 45-degree angle up. And then down, then up, down.
Yeah.
I actually did really well on that. And I was surprised. I was like, oh, okay, I'm actually good at this. But then I was like, the other, like the chain link fence, I was like, yeah, I've climbed chain link fences before, whatever. And I was like, wow, this is more exhausting than I was like,
I wasn't
expecting it.
So one thing I think that's going to help me, and this is actually coincidence. So I do CrossFit as my normal workout mode. But one thing I've been working on is my grip strength specifically because this year I've been really wanting to get muscle ups. That's like been my goal. And I felt for a while that my strength in like my back and my arms was better than just my grip strength, like my hands and my forearms. And that whole muscle group goes all the way up to your shoulders. So I've been specifically working grip strength. So I've been just like every workout I've just been doing dead hangs and active hangs for like as long as I can in like sets of three each. So my grip strength's getting quite a bit better. But yeah, just like do three sets of dead hangs and active hangs for, and like I can get, I go like a little over 30 seconds for each, and that's hard.
Oh, dude, that's badass.
But no, it's actually been really helpful because I'm just like, I do pull-ups a lot, and I'm just like, my hands and grip hurt more than like the muscles doing all the work. So that's been like my goal this year. That was like what I was already working on when you asked me to do this. So I feel like that'll help me.
Yeah.
Since it seems like there's going to be climby and hangy things.
Yeah.
So, that'll be fun.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I don't have is a sort of like upper body strength. My core and my legs are like tight. But it's just like the upper body strength. I just haven't been able to get. So
I don't know why, Jake. Just the way you said that.
Tight.
My legs
tight.
Are
tight. Tight.
So like, completely unrelated. Tim, you're wearing glasses. I haven't seen you wear glasses before.
Well,
I knew that was like a something that was coming.
Yeah, I didn't want to like talk.
Didn't want to talk about the elephant in the room.
I didn't want to talk about the blind man in the room, but
man, also picking the Jeffrey Dahmer shades. Interesting.
Is that I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's true. You wouldn't have picked this glass.
Wait, are you serious?
Tim doesn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer is.
Oh, no.
It's Jeffrey Dahmer, the people Dahmer.
No!
It's funny because the person at the eyeglass place was like, oh, those are so cute. I have a pair like those. And I was like, oh, thanks.
You ask him if he kills animals.
Right.
I'm assuming by their presentation they were she, and I don't know, maybe. You just never know people. They have their day jobs. What do they do after?
Well, did she ask you if you killed animals?
No.
Okay. Do you prey on?
She probably already knew before. She didn't really have to ask.
So it was like, you prey on young, defenseless animals. Here, you like these?
you're pretty safe. You got the silver frames, but you don't have. They're not the right shape.
Yeah, they're so. Not.
No,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
The first thing I was like, they look. No, they're not the same.
Anyway, I like your glasses, Tim.
Thanks.
This is the first time I've seen you with them.
I got them on Wednesday, so I've only had them for a couple days, and it's very strange being able to see detail at a distance. I just thought, this is just how vision works. And I put these little things on, and I'm like, wow, look at that road sign. I can read that.
Stop. Wait, this was the conversation. Didn't we have this before where you thought there was, like, pigs on the side of the road, and it was just trash bags or something?
Yes.
Yeah, no, opposite. I thought it was trash bags, and they were actually pigs, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think either way.
Yep. Yep. That was definitely a side effect. but yeah, it's also nice that whenever I'm like in the office, I don't have to during a meeting stand up from the conference table and walk to the screen to read the presentation. It's like I wasn't the only one doing it. There's a gentleman who's in his I think his late 60s, early 70s who joins me up there.
Okay, if that's your compatriot with this little task, I don't think your eyesight's that great, my friend. It's not that bad. I'm better than the 70-year-old.
My friend, the geriatric over there, we have the same eyesight.
We're really connecting on a level here that not many people do.
It's true. I help him keep track of his glasses now,
and he tells you about all the early bird specials you're too young for.
Senior discount.
He goes, you know, I get a senior. Oh, you don't get that though. You don't get the senior discount.
Do you want a Werther's?
Oh man, I would kill a Werther's.
Ask Kelly right now. I bet you
love Werther's.
See?
I love my old people hard candy.
Strawberries.
I was just about to say the strawberries. Those things kick ass.
Oh,
the
strawberry bonbons. Yes,
yeah, strawberry bonbons, yes.
Kelly, did Rebecca ever tell you about those things? And our family connection to those strawberry candies?
She has told me those. Yeah, told me about
is
that.
It a good memory about for this. Her or neutral bad?
It was a good memory for
okay,
her.
Okay. I never really knew how she felt about her piano teacher, but I mean that's for another podcast.
That's for the we're going to talk about childhood trauma podcast. Anyway.
Yeah, I loved the border collie and the strawberry candies.
Oh. She must have the same piano teacher that my sisters did.
I know it's messed up, but there's no more interesting conversation than childhood trauma with the Kofelds. You guys just have so many cool stories.
We do.
That's a unique family.
Mm-hmm. That's very
fun
true.
Fun fact, I'm starting therapy. Woohoo!
Good for you. Good for you. Well, maybe therapy would have fixed these Raja Rakshasas. And maybe, no?
No, unredeemable.
So. You don't think so? You don't think
after seeing visions of their many horrible acts they've committed. There's no redemption arc for these.
Peanut butter on hot dogs.
Oh no!
That's weird. Peanut butter on hot dogs would be the episode title if that didn't make everyone unsubscribe.
this makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I bet they love it.
Or they'll subscribe. Sure. What the hell is this episode about? Now I have peanut butter on hot dogs.
Oh my god! Did you guys ever watch the movie UHF, the Weird Al Yankovic movie?
Oh yeah.
Hey, Twinkie Wiener Sandwich, your favorite.
Oh,
a Twinkie with a hot dog on it and then string cheese.
And it comes with heart medication.
Twinkie Wiener Sandwich.
All right, so before we go into another rant or another banter, let's get back into this episode.
We
ended last episode with this Raja Rakshasa. I think this is the vulture-headed one. This is the vulture-headed one who is hanging on for dear life with its HP. I'll tell you that it is not long for this world. Probably within a round. Okay, that's why I had to. That's why I got away here. You could see that it is struggling. It limped over the side of the room, and it turned around, and its eyes glowed. And out from its arms, it cast another shadow blast. So I need everybody except for Kezra to make a reflex or will save.
Oh, sweet!
That's right. It's a cone.
I'm just outside that cone, aren't I?
Yep, you sure are.
Cut.
Good, I'm getting a little hurt.
Damn it.
It was like, thank God.
Alright, I'm invoking my Greenleaf Geek Dice.
Greenleaf Geeks.
Let's do it.
No, I think I did just fine.
Greenleaf Goose.
Ooh. Is that an oof, Tim?
Yeah, it's a big oof. Not a big oof. Oof implies critical fail.
Oh, okay. This is just fail.
You're still hurting? You healed up a little bit, right?
No. I'm definitely going down.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
He thinks he's going down.
What? Doesn't this thing have a bunch of conditions on it? Or
it does have a bunch of conditions. So it has... It's Enfeeble 3 and Frightened 2.
Whoa.
So it does reduce its DC.
Okay.
So you might be fine-ish.
However, let's go around the table. So I'm going to go left to right here, or west to east. Elkwood.
I'm not as excited as getting a natural 20 on this.
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't matter.
No.
Because it's like, oh, crit success. Oh, I would have got a crit success if I rolled higher than, like, a 10. So it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, yay, natural. Oh.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a success into a critical success. Benson, what'd you get?
34.
34. That is a regular success.
Ready 18 on the die.
That'll be it. And then Grimshaw, what'd you get?
24.
That is a fail.
Yeah.
So let me roll the 6d8 spirit damage again.
Ooh. I've got one in the tank for you, buddy. Don't worry.
It is 21 points of spirit damage.
Still alive.
That's amazing. I really thought you were closer.
Yeah, I thought you when you said I'm going down. I was like, so what? You got like 5 health left? Or?
Right. Yeah. I thought he was holding on.
Well, I mean, when you get like a 5 on the die. You know, 5 on the die, and, like, I couldn't remember what the damage was, but I knew it was, like, kind of high, so I really thought...
Yeah.
I really thought.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right, well, that is the Vulture Head's turn. Elkwood, it is your turn now.
Okay. Let's see. Elkwood, he is going to chase him down. All right. What's that white thing there?
That was the fire that is no longer there. The fire, the flaming sphere thing. Yeah.
Okay, so with one move action, he's coming up, and then second move action, he's just going to roll to freaking hit this thing. He wants to hit it. That's it. Roll 15 on die. That's a 35 to hit.
That's a hit.
And damage. Not shabby. 23 points damage.
Please describe your kill.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
As like he sees this creature, the vulture head on it, he kind of like has this moment where he's just more pissed than anything. All it kind of feels like an insult than anything else. It's like the connection with Vimir he has and stuff like this, and it's just like he gets so livid that he just lops its head right off. Like he just goes right for its neck and just sends the head flying with one like spectacular like twirling slice,
and the vulture head flies in the air and plops to the ground.
Yeah, and he just kind of looks down. You are an abomination.
Okay.
One action left.
Oh yeah.
Haha, I piss on its quotes.
I take my wiener out and piss on it.
Oh, wait, one action to take it out first.
when action to interact with my zipper.
Yeah. Oh, I critically failed. I can't get the zipper open.
my zipper's just got stuck.
How far do I have to be to faint? Like, if I try to do a deception?
You have to be in melee.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Never mind then. Besides...
You can create a diversion.
Oh, yeah. I could try that.
Start scream singing the Linkin Park song Faint. That'll work.
Faint!
So creating a diversion, that's just deception?
Wait. Sorry. Yeah. Hold on. Before we get too far, did you roll concealment?
Ooh.
All right. 12.
Okay. Alright. Anyway, create a diversion, as you were saying.
Yeah, is that just deception?
It's deception, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And what does that do exactly? Is it just distracts? Oh, you become hidden? Or... Oh, I'm just trying to divert their attention to me, I guess? Or...
Create a diversion.
It can make you concealed to them, so it doesn't help.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't help.
You're trying to get a flat-footed.
Yeah, I was trying to do a flat-footed thing.
That's a faintest horror, but of course that's melee.
I guess that you could just take a move action and just get up here.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean...
All right.
Or we're just going to pin him against the wall.
Yeah, you guys are now on three sides of this Rakshasa, so...
Just start screaming, get his wallet, get his wallet!
No, that's where I keep all my gold coins! Alright. Sir Benson, it's your turn.
I mean, I'm guessing I'm just gonna step up and do my swing swings.
Okay.
Okay. And strike. 32.
Alright, make me a flat check.
Yeah.
So that was your flat check.
Oh, yes.
Whatever that roll was your flat check.
So whatever that roll was your flat check.
I want the 32. I think I could beat the flat check.
I should be a nat 20.
It was a natural 18.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to take my aid.
Okay.
In my rage, I want to try to aid with athletics. I want to just try to, like, give him a shove. In like kind of get him a little off kilter.
Okay.
To make into Benson's attack.
Nice. Okay.
All right, so you want to do that into like just reducing his AC then?
Yeah. My goal is to give Benson basically a plus one.
Oh, okay, I got it. Okay.
All right. By successful athletics to move this guy off his spot a little bit.
Got it.
Oh shit! That is a very good roll. That is 35.
Yeah, that certainly beats any DC that would have mattered. Yeah.
Is it a crit success though?
Definitely not. But
okay, I will do my damage then.
Yep.
What was your total to hit?
33.
No. It did not turn into a crit. It was just a regular hit. Anyway.
And a second swing. Natural 20.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, just when I'm like, this guy probably has got one more round in him, I think.
Jake, maybe do a favor and get fucked.
Wait, how much damage did you do in the first swing?
16.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. All right. So.
Parrying strike. You gain a +2 bonus to AC until the end of your next turn.
Just what the champion needed.
Right.
So what's Benson's AC? 35.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Unreal.
That's still crit damage, though, right?
Yeah, still double damage.
Yep.
Oh, that's all right.
And he's flat-footed now because...
Oh my god.
I think you have critical specialization.
Yeah, he definitely does, yeah.
It's time for... Foundry to fuck me with this roll.
Right. As is tradition. Always.
30 points damage. That's not bad.
That was good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm happy with that. And since that wasn't my last action, swing again at a +9, so it's virtually impossible for me to. Jake, can you see that?
No. Was that another natural 20?
That was another natural 20.
Jesus Christ. Wait. What's your total?
29.
Okay, so just a regular success, though.
But he's flat-footed.
Okay, yes. Oh, wait, concealment. Sorry, concealment.
Oh, roll, okay.
Yeah.
That might be a miss. 10 on the die.
Oh, okay. All right.
Kelly is trying to say that your natural 20 is the concealment. Yeah, that's what he's trying to say.
Shut up.
Listen.
I thought you only have to do that once a turn.
No, it's every swing.
It's every swing. I'll tell you why. You can do this because I don't want this. I don't want this fight going on that long. So,
narratively, you do it. Three episodes of this stupid fucking fight.
So please, do the crit guard and all that.
Delayed wound. Normal damage. The target takes the same amount of damage at the end of its next two turns.
Oh, this one's good.
Alright, so with normal damage then, John.
Normal damage. 15.
So it takes 15 damage every turn.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, reduced, I imagine.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a picture and send that. That was... a nat 20, my damage roll, and then another nat 20, and the same.
What are the chances
of that? My phone's upstairs, I'll do it later.
You know what? Champions do not have critical specialization as a base class feature.
Really?
So you guys don't actually get the critical specializations? Nope, you don't get those.
No.
You have weapon expertise, and you have weapon specialization, but that just increases your proficiency and your base damage each. Champions have basically the same thing that you would get for weapons for armor. Hmm. They get armor specialization effects.
Okay.
So you guys get like the cool shit from wearing different types of armor.
Yeah, I really thought weapon specialization just meant that you got the
damage reduction that you guys get for wearing full plate.
Yeah,
that's armor specialization.
Right. Yeah,
so you guys don't get critical specialization. I think Mark does.
Whoa.
Though.
Yeah.
No, Mark definitely does. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay. It is the Raja Rakshasa's turn.
He's gotta be pretty mad at me.
He's pretty mad. Pretty upset about all this bullshit. So he is going to... Y'all are grouped. He's gonna run over here.
Some bitch.
And Shadow Blast.
I really wish...
No, you bastard.
How original.
No. How many you got? How many of these things you got? Grimshaw's definitely dead.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's no way he's up.
Alright. Nobody has attack for opportunity either, because he moved out of four melee.
He could really take that step there and just like squeeze between us, like
in the heat of battle, he's like, excuse me.
He could have gone between me and, yeah. Me and
that's Grimshaw's what I'm saying. Stitch. That's what I'm saying. But that's, that's.
I'm just going to squeeze right past here.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I know that by the rules.
He moved to that spot, and he had 5 feet more of movement.
Goodness. We're all just busy doing our own things. None of us ever thought to just attack an enemy while they ran away.
Nope.
We never trained for that.
We did the Dragon Ball Z method of...
It's reflex or will, right?
Yes, reflex or will save.
Benson's like, wait, a monster in this world doesn't want to attack me? What?
Oh boy.
Well, Kelly, I was going to go the other way, so Kelly, what'd you get?
What I got is using the hero point you gave me.
Oh, okay.
Because that was a natural one.
All right.
Kendra sees this blast of darkness coming at him, and in his rage, he just wasn't ready for it. Yeah,
he hits him with the Uno reverse card.
Yeah, he hits him with the Uno reverse card, and just like bulks up his rage and refocuses himself at the very last second, and gets another natural one.
Oh, my God.
Kendra was not ready for this.
He really wasn't.
Yeah, I think Ash
was like still looking at the spot he was in and wondering where he is.
He's like, there's no way they have more of the spell slots.
Oh, he's like, infinite without object purpose.
I love how Kelly has to pay for my luck with his bad luck.
That's right. True, it evens out. It
always evens out. Alright, so natural one. Just critical fail, Uncle, what'd you get?
11 on die for 33.
33, God, that is a success. into critical, yes, into a critical success. Benson, what'd you get?
26.
26, that is a fail. And Grimshaw?
25.
That is a fail. So let me roll.
Oh, jeez, Kezra.
That is going to be 22 points of spirit damage again.
That was low.
That will be dying one for Grimshaw.
That'll be ouch for Kezra.
Yeah, that was a pretty low roll, I think.
Yeah, there's two ones in there.
I was expecting like 30 something.
Yeah, I know. I rolled pretty low on these, which sucks. Sucks for me.
No, it doesn't.
I said sucks for me. Grimshaw, it's your turn now.
Grimshaw takes.
Well, I actually even initiated.
Yeah, you move, yeah.
Yeah.
I was
one turn away from murking this.
Yeah.
Murking this Rakshasa. And, you know, I think I see it as, like Grimshaw, like, he swore vengeance on them, right? Vengeance because of what they have done to, like, the city.
Yeah.
And it's so ironic. He didn't get the blow on this one. I feel like he's kind of been floundering this whole fight. He, you know, gets some hits here and there, but like by and large, he's just been pretty ineffective and just like hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
And he's barely hanging on. And you see that he's just like staggering to swipe, and like just like Kezra, he's like, where did he go? And he just like looks up in time to see the blast of shadow, and he just like gets shunted into the door behind him and just like slumps to the ground.
Alright, well, Kezra, it is your turn.
Yeah, much like Grimshaw, Kezra just gets blasted into the corner of this wall, but he just doesn't even hesitate. Bloodied, his skin is all burnt, he's got like this acrid black shadow smoke coming off of him, and he just flies by Elk across the room to take two swipes while still in his rage.
All right,
this guy.
All right, gets the helmet first.
A 5.
Whoa.
Thank you very much, gets the helmet.
Skipping by on that one.
And then a 9 to hit, so that's 26.
That is a miss.
Sheesh.
And another hit. Another swing. Concealment. 18. Awesome.
Okay.
And 4. So.
Oh.
So.
Jeez.
Great round.
Good job.
At least I failed in spectacular style.
Yeah.
Elkwood's just farming last hits over here.
Damn right. Speaking of Elkwood, your turn.
Wait, what?
It's your turn, Elkwood.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot. I was like, oh, what? Oh, the other one's dead.
Yeah, the other one's dead. Yep. You were...
The other one you killed?
Yeah. It's just like...
Grimshaw moved.
Yeah, things happen. Okay, so when his turn, he is going to take one action to hunt prey on this thing. Let's see. I would have to take two actions to get flanking. He's going to move here with one action, and then he's going to swing with the curve blade.
All right, concealment.
Yep. Okay. Well, 13.
Okay.
So go. Where's my button? 38 to hit.
Yep, that's a hit.
Beautiful. And 20 points of damage.
Okay.
Didn't the Raza Rashaza take 15 points of damage from John's crit?
It does.
That would be at the end of his turn.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So as you, I guess as you go over, you see that it is barely holding on. As you approach it, it goes and dies.
Oh!
Yay!
Beautiful. You see Benson in the corner, like that counts as mine.
You see the experience. Go to
him.
It's like trying to like goes over to swing and it just collapses. But oh.
Guess it died. How is it standing?
Okay. Well, Benson immediately is going to throw a heal into Grimshaw.
Healing Grimshaw gloves. just like coughing up blood.
I needed that earlier.
What'd you need earlier?
I realized it was on me. I should have said something. But I'll do better to let you know when I'm closer to death.
That's 10.
Sorry, I let the fight blind my judgment.
Well, I think it's a credit to your gumption. You made it through this.
I saw a field of blood. And then, here I am.
Still alive, so.
Still alive.
Turns out the sea of blood was not too deep, and he helped him to his feet.
Yeah.
It's pretty metal sounding, actually.
Milani is a very metal god, so.
She is pretty metal, yeah.
You wake up, see the sea of blood, and you're like, is that Dragon Force?
I woke up to the sea of blood.
You all see Kezra, like, comes out of his rage. And he's just like, he's bloodied, he's burned up, he's fucked up, he's really low on HP. He walks over, and he just flops down on the couch. He reaches into his pants. And he grabs Lil Kezra and pulls him out.
Whoa.
And just starts to...
Kezra.
Hey!
And he starts to, like, talk to him and rub him a little bit. And then he casts Restorative Familiar. And he regains some hit points.
Jesus Christ.
Let me tell you. That,
and you just hear Kezra go...
he just rubs Lil Kezra until the healing comes out.
I rub Lil Kezra and the healing comes out and I feel a little better.
Eating pineapples earlier today.
Grimshaw goes like,
that's no little Kezra.
Oh, jeez.
Alright, so 5d8 healing for me.
Yeah.
Lil Kezra does the trick, you know, every time.
Yeah, I bet he does.
I love how we just had like a god moment of talking, like, I saw a sea of blood, now I'm here, and then you just beat off on the couch.
Hey, I'm just pulling out my snake, don't worry about that.
How's it, put your snake away?
Where's your dirty mind going?
This, and what are you doing with that orb? Some of the funniest, funny stuff I've ever written. Oh my god.
Hopping the orbs and worshiping the worm or something. Whatever
yeah.
it was.
Yeah, he serves, oh my god. Serves the worm.
Serves the worm.
Pondering the orb.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Anyway, alright, so the. This room, by the way. This is the. It says it's a study, but this is definitely a smoke room.
Yeah.
In fact, you guys see that there is, during the fight, things probably happened, but there was a table here that had some, that have fresh ash from a very expensive tobacco in it.
Oh.
And if you remember, I think it was 2 episodes ago, I said you guys smelled some.
Yeah.
So you believe that these, Rakshasa might have, dabbled in some of the finer tobacco here.
Kendra scrounges around for a cigar or a pipe. That might be still partially lit.
There's definitely no Newports, I can tell you that.
Nothing but camels, as far as the eye can see.
What, these black camels?
Kezra needs a smoke after that heel.
Oh my gosh. you see little Kezra is taking a smoke.
the snake tail.
Little Kezra.
The snake tail around it just...
I mean, what do you expect, Kezra? You only got 2 hands and one of them's holding a cigarette.
So, the, let's address the halfling in the other room.
Let's address the halfling in the room?
The halfling in the other room. before this fight...
She must be a Rakshasa as well! Oh my god!
Stab her right through the chest.
You guys, Kezra, when you found her, she was hiding under the bed. And she was terrified of you, but you saying Grimshaw's name kind of brought her down a bit. But you said you threw her back into the room and closed the door right as the Rakshasas changed.
Right.
Sure did.
When you go back into that room, you can
she's knocked out.
why am I just like so nervous that like. Someone's holding like a knife to her throat or something. Like,
probably because it's about to happen.
So you do not see her in this room, Kizer.
Huh. Yeah, we gotta find her. Kizer will check beds again.
All right, you get close to the bed and you hear some more.
It's safe. They're dead. You can come out now.
She comes. Scurrying out. She looks like this.
Right.
She is played by Kristen Schaal. Or Schaal.
She looks like she was to Evanescence.
Sure.
She probably Rock just binged all of Gravity Falls.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that means she has good taste. I'm just saying.
Oh, yes. So she is clearly in tears, and so she comes out, and then she looks around, and she doesn't really know you, but then she sees Benson and sees the the symbol of Iomina, and she's just like, you and your friend, wait, the other ones are they okay too?
How many other ones are there?
Oh, no, just, and then she points out that there were 4 of you. She's just making sure that everybody, like, lived.
Mm. Oh, we're beat up, yes. But we're still standing.
Oh, thank goodness. She, like, sort of, on her knees, like, walks over to you, just, like, hugs your hugs your legs, and it's just like, oh, goodness, those horrid creatures, the vulture and the panther head. And she looks at the ground and sees the vulture head. Uh-huh. Dislocated from its spot from the body, she's like, "No, God, yeah. No!"
Yeah. Elquist actually, he picks up the head and like,
okay,
he disappears downstairs.
Mm. Okay, so she
make sure you visit Kentarka's Community Center. I hear they're offering free therapy for people who experience the traumatic events that have been going on in the city. Here's a voucher.
It's Grimshaw. Grimshaw's a therapist.
He specializes in child therapy.
Child therapy.
Not child.
Wow.
It's like,
that was incredibly insulting.
I thought she was
Dory,
a child.
Little girl.
Did I get her name last time?
I don't know if you did. Her name is Elianda. So Grimshaw, you would actually know her as she started, I think, a month ago working at this coffee shop.
I frequent here.
Yes, and you frequent here. So yeah, so you would have seen her running tables and making coffee and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so she tells you what happens now that she kind of feels that she can speak you guys, and she's like. And she's like, I was fighting downstairs, and I made sure to get people out, but then they blocked the exit, so I came up here, and I hid for so long. I hid for what seemed like hours. And eventually I heard people talking, and I thought that I might be safe, but then they started talking about eating people. They started talking about their favorite ways that human people flesh taste after certain atrocities.
So you don't know how they got in here?
No, I don't know. No, it's just the randomly people came in and started attacking, but we did fight them off. But there were these ghosts downstairs. There were these two ghosts that showed up. Did you encounter them too?
Yes, we took care of them.
Oh, thank goodness.
Benson's like, finds out that she works at the coffee shop. He's like, I know you have dealing with some trauma, but I could really use an Americano right now.
Benson, this isn't the time.
You're right. Sorry.
No, you know what? He's got a point. I could really use a pick me up.
That's a good distraction.
Ileana, are there any other dangers in the coffee house that you know of?
Good question.
No. I've been hiding here for a long time. I was so scared to move. I was scared that they would hear me and eat me. Eat me. Do they really eat people? Do you know?
These creatures are vile.
Oh God, no. Oh, goodness, no. This is horrid. This is absolutely horrible.
If we told you the truth about them, you'd only be more horrified. So it's best you don't know.
They eat people for food, but the weirdest or most creepy part about them is still the backwards hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Always. Always the weirdest.
Yeah, until they disguise themselves to not have backwards hands.
Yeah.
But they're probably like backwards hands. We're the superior bipedal creatures since we have backwards hands.
Like, I'm trying to, like, imagine. For some reason, like, my brain can't process that right now. Like, I'm looking at my hand, I'm like, what if this is backwards? I'm just like, God, that's so weird. Like,
being gripping things on the other side of your palm.
Like, we haven't cleared this top level, though, right?
No.
You have not.
Okay.
Benson,
I think it's best if you stay here. We need to clear the rest of the rooms. Make sure there's nothing else lurking.
Okay. But I will take 10 minutes to give myself another some more hit points.
Do you want to universally take 10?
Oh. I mean,
I think it's a good idea if we all took 10.
Yeah, get your focus points back.
I definitely need some more heals.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys can take your 10. I'll tell you that you don't hear anything within the 10 minutes in the other rooms.
Take a lay on hands, Kezra.
Yes.
All right. I say we just start. Mm. We just start one by like as a. It's like I feel like what I want to do is I want to go the room to the south where. Eliandra?
And Eliandra.
Eliandra is... I want to, like, blockade off that door.
Okay.
And then I want to move clockwise, starting from 6 o'clock.
Okay.
That way like, we know that if something is going to come after her, then they'll we'll hear the door being broken down, you know?
Right. I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so you go into the... So there's, on the north wall towards the west, there's a door that goes directly north. Mm-hmm. So you open up this door, and you see this bunk room contains 6 human-sized beds, and they look very, very nicely furnished.
Oh.
Eliandra tells you that those are specially reserved for, like, special guests.
Like us?
I guess you would be special guests after this.
Yeah, so I think right now I just want to assess danger and move on. We can search things more carefully.
Yeah,
I think that's the entirety of this upstairs area.
Is north not
There's a door to the north.
Yeah, there
that
it is.
Leads to a
We opened it.
Alright. You see, all the furniture in this large chamber is sized for a halfling, except for the oversized bed and a large clawfoot bathtub peeking out from behind a privacy screen. Door exits to the south that you just came in, and two windows with checked curtains are open to allow a fresh breeze.
I want to make a motion to Benson, like, about the bathtub. Like, Grimshaw's super paranoid. So he kind of wants to do, like, one of those, like, kind of, like, the fingers, like, with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he motions that he's gonna pull back the curtain and Benson to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Be ready.
Yep.
Because that's the only thing that he can't, like, get a line of sight on.
Yeah.
All right, SEAL Team 6, let's go.
Yep.
All right, you go bursting in, and you both fall into the bathtub. Very, very funny.
Oh, great. Golly.
Hey. It's really difficult with your full plate to, like, get out. Like, you keep getting tangled up inside of each other.
I mean, is this a porcelain clawfoot bathtub?
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Yeah, I was about to say. Point.
Yeah.
Kind of starting to sound hot.
God damn. Yeah. My little Kezra right now.
You're not giving this full plate.
It's not hotter than two.
There's something about two heavily injured, sweaty men bleeding all over each other in a broken clawfoot bathtub. Ladies, calm down.
You gotta stop. We're gonna have to increase the rating on this.
What is this, Game of Thrones?
I mean, if we rate ourselves, if our rating says that it's okay for children to watch us, that needs to be addressed right now.
Yeah, if you're a child and you are 130 whatever episodes in, stop listening.
Stop.
Please.
Right now.
Do homework or something.
Don't you have homework to do?
You know,
play Pokemon.
You know, bypassing all the gore from, like, the Mwangi and being ripped in half and all that stuff. Now it's fine.
Stop listening to DPS and go play Fortnite.
Did the Raja Rakshasa have any gear on them?
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
They do.
Cheap bastards.
Sorry. But they have a +1 striking kukri, not that they ever use it.
I mean, that's good that
I
we
mean,
can sell
yeah.
it.
It's basically jewelry for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, within the 10 minutes, though, like, you would see that both of their heads are gone, and that actually Elk took both of the heads and fed them to Vemir down there. Because Vemir's still trapped downstairs.
Pretty sure they'd turn into goo.
Mm.
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. This is their plane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because they're fiends native to this plane. They're one of the few that actually just die.
Yeah. So we permanently killed these things.
Yep.
Which is great.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I said this. Roll a knowledge check on these things, because they do have something very particular, but it's...
Or
religion? Or
religion, probably.
Yeah, religion, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't roll inside the box to save my life. I don't know.
Let me check.
I just know about how to combat them. Don't really know much about them.
I got a 30.
I'll tell you this. So after fighting them and seeing how powerful they are and just, you know, some of the tricks that they pull, you remember that Rakshasas actually have a form of reincarnation. Rakshasas typically reincarnate after their deaths and retain hazy memories of their past lives. Successful and particularly wicked Rakshasas take more powerful forms when reborn, while weak Rakshasas reincarnate as lesser forms or even fail to reincarnate entirely. So,
that's interesting. Is there, like, a ritual we could perform to prevent the reincarnation?
It doesn't say this. That's all, like, story stuff, but...
There is some lore in 5th edition and earlier Dungeons & Dragons about Rakshasas and something very specific you can do to make actually destroy them. But and it's super vague. Jake, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I do remember that there was something about that, and yeah, it doesn't say it here.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it here in this little, like, information block.
Literally,
but
all a cleric has to do is say a blessing over a crossbow bolt, and you will destroy a Rakshasa instantly.
Hmm.
A crossbow bolt, specifically crossbow bolt, blessed by a priest, in no special way, you don't need to use spell slots, just say a blessing over a crossbow bolt, and it will kill a Rakshasa instantly.
Huh.
And again, that's 5e, not this game, so.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but it's one of those crazy things where it's just like these things are not necessarily immortal, but they can just keep reincarnating. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah, and the funny thing is that's a rule from first edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Whoa. Yeah,
that's deep lore from first edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, like, interesting-wise.
Yeah. Okay. You guys check over these rooms and you see nothing. It doesn't look like these rooms were really, really touched.
Okay.
Like I said, it seems like these Rakshasas were just sort of enjoying themselves here. Hmm.
Interesting.
So, Ileanda, she sort of calms down and pulls herself together, and she's just like, so... So what exactly is happening? Is the Bellflower Network okay?
Wait, she knows about the Bellflower Network.
Well, she works for them.
Yeah, yeah, she works there.
No, I thought she said she worked at the coffee house. I don't know
if
there was
like
a separate...
Yeah, if you work at the coffee house.
Oh,
it's like
implied.
The guy that makes Rubens at the other place. He knows about...
Yeah,
so does he though?
She is this place Bob. Yeah.
Okay, she's the Bob. Okay.
Yeah, she's the Bob of the Longhorn's Coffee House. Yeah.
I don't really know what their next move is. We're taking it a step at a time and a step at a time. We're just checking out to see if everyone from the safe house cleared out. Judging by the lukewarm to cold coffee, it seemed like most everyone got out.
Yes, we work very fast with all this.
So you saw the kites then?
Someone did, and then they came and told us, and we were lucky to see. Wait, were those your kites?
Well, I mean, I can't take credit for all of the kite work.
My kite was the best one, by the way.
Mine was so good, I definitely didn't have to roll natural 20 to succeed.
don't mind him. He just he talks in game terms sometimes.
Can't help it. Bullshit.
Like the idea of Ben to just be a mad, just fucking kite.
They hate me because I'm swole.
Angry at the happiest thing in the world.
Yep. Yeah.
The person who stopped by to warn you, did they move on to another safe house? Do you know?
Yes. If those were your kites, you saved many people. You saved many people. The Bellflower Network. We managed this coffee house, and we managed to get many, many people to safety.
Glad to hear that our efforts were, as far as we know, successful.
So were all the safe houses under attack?
They're all compromised. One of your agents revealed information about their locations.
Was it Hundy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember, he skipped training. Remember anti-torture training?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I told him
not to skip that.
If there's one training day you really don't want to skip,
it's anti-torture.
So her, she sort of perks up for a second, and you can see she has some concern on her face. And she goes,
"What about the girls?"
And she sort of eyes towards you, Grimshaw, as if she's using a sort of full form of devil speak.
Hmm.
And you would know that she is talking about Lady Decor's School for Girls.
Kezra's like, "Yes, yes, I could go for some girls too."
No. What?
Kezra, she's not talking about prostitutes. Unless she is.
Hey, we haven't had a lot of time for rest on this adventure.
Kezra's like, oh my god.
I'm just saying, we're in a big city. I haven't been here in a long time.
I literally just saw you with little Kezra. Like,
hey, that's what we all did by day to day.
So, you know that Lady Decor's School for Girls is used as one of the safe houses.
Mm.
Oh.
So, you, most people would know the School for Girls as just a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Except the owner of it also uses it to teach subterfuge and, like, combat training
mm-hmm.
to young women.
Yeah.
So imagine a bunch of teenage girls that know how to use a rapier and are really good at it.
Cool.
Big fencing school. Well, it's a school that their sport is fencing, and they're all badasses.
Sick.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I wouldn't say that I'm particularly worried about them. I think if any threats came to them, they wouldn't survive the threat, that is. But do you have reason to believe that they could be taken up, caught off guard?
Well, I don't know. You can tell she's getting kind of frantic. Mm. It's just all the young girls there. Who knows what sort of evil they might have sent?
That's true. We don't know what kind of forces they allocated there. I don't even know how many of us could be compromised. You know my order. Did they brief you on my order? I know you've only been here for not too long.
Yes.
So, one of us was compromised. Malus, if you see him, he is no friend of the Crimson Briar.
Okay. I believe I only met him once, but if he was a half elf, I believe.
Yes.
Long hair, looked like Adam Driver.
Tea drinkers.
Had an orb in his coat pocket, I'm sure.
He loved that orb.
Close talker as well.
Close talker, yeah.
Right. Real close talker.
Very uncomfortable.
Maybe if you do come across him, try to keep him occupied and send word for us.
Yes. Yes. Anything we can do to keep them from succeeding at this. I don't know their plan yet, but I'm taking a stand against them once and for all. They can't exist in the Silver City.
No.
Grimshaw, do you think we could get word out to the network to look out for him?
He looks at Alanda.
Eliana.
I'm very bad with names.
She takes something out of her pocket and puts it on her shirt. It's her name tag.
Yeah, Eliana.
It's okay. I don't think Grimshaw can read.
He needs his glasses.
This is an E.
This is why they make new starts wear name tags. Don't forget that.
Benson, my literacy was a character reveal. Why'd you steal that from me?
No, I wasn't saying because you could never read. I mean, it's because the head trauma you're currently experiencing from that horrible thrashing you took.
Oh, that's right.
Like, your eyes are still crossed.
Yes, it totally doesn't have to do with the fact that I never received any formal education as a child.
I was like, Mommy, I want to read. And she's speak. Like, shut up and hold the morning star.
You're like, guys, I'm fine. Listen. And your eyes are crossed. So you're like, I'm going to go take a nap.
That's the last thing you should do right now.
Don't let him sleep.
I need some rest.
But yeah, I look at Eliana and see, in like, direct the question to her, more or less.
Yeah, she nods and just says, "The Bellflower Network will be on it. I will see who's available, and we will meet in a predetermined location or the Thorny Rose. Perhaps we will reconvene with you there.
The Thorny Rose is a secure location.
Good.
Thorn is on guard, and Bob, you know, he's still serving up those Romans. God bless that man."
Kezra's stomach just audibly growls.
How much does Ruben heal for?
I know.
So 2d8?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, you know, seeing this place, like, you know, ransacked.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel the urgency.
And I don't know how Kezra is doing on spells, but, like, I need some time to heal up. I am,
yeah.
Like, I'm still in a rough way.
Like, I'm down at least, like, 40 or roughly 50 HP and stuff like that. But, yeah. You are way rough. I mean,
I think we should patch up and we should get over there. I don't think we should wait too long.
Agreed.
And there's no other room up here besides the one here. Which is like, what, back? Oh, that's a window.
Not windows.
Oh, yeah, for a moment I thought it was a door. So,
Nope. Yep. So yeah, let's just like spend an hour healing up. Kezra's fine on spells. And let's follow this lead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. So, Elianda makes you guys some lattes.
Ooh. Heck yeah.
I wasn't going to ask, but it's appreciated.
Can we get a layer? Is there a good status for caffeinated?
Ooh.
Oh, dude, you know what? There was I don't remember what book it was, but they did release, like, the different types of coffees or teas or something, and, like, some of the things that they did.
I remember you telling me this before.
Because I think it was like a autumn seasonal drink that actually gave you pluses to a cult.
Ooh, there's like, Blood Eye coffee.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
That looks awesome.
Is that a drug, or is that an actual like alchemical thing?
It's a favorite drug. Morning drink. Oh yeah, I guess it is. It does say it does have that that trait, doesn't it?
So it's
for 8 hours you get plus one item bonus to AC and saves, to which you are taking penalties caused by fatigue. Oh. So it temporarily overrides fatigue.
Cool.
It's like you make coffee, but you use blood instead of water.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Chunky.
As we're getting our lattes, Benson looks up. They have brown butter toffee flavor.
Whoa, but they do have Insight coffee. Whoa, this is it's a very high level. Like, this item is awesome.
So she makes you lattes.
Okay.
She's not making anything
She's
else.
She's not making this lattes. Magical coffee worth 1,000 gold pieces.
Oh, why didn't she have that in her ruined coffee shop?
Lesser is only 40 gold.
It's only the GDP of the Mwangi Expanse.
She just keeps it behind the back shelf. It's fine. You know, it's like in a cask.
By the way, we did get a comment on one of our YouTube episodes where somebody asked if we were making a coffee cult. And to answer your question, yeah.
I agree. Let's get Jake back into coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even back into coffee.
I'm deep in the sauce of coffee. Like, I just bought my first manual bean grinder. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
You're just going to have, like, new coffee news for every episode, aren't you?
Yeah, really.
I'm pretty sure. Did I not talk about that?
Do you do the hand grinder?
Oh, God, we're not talking about coffee again. You have your nice lattes in
Jake,
the past
by the universe. Jake, if we don't talk about coffee, then we have to have personalities, and that just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It can't be your whole personality. Don't ask about the Tough Mudder. So... you guys get your lattes. They are delicious. They are wholesome. They feel good. And you guys are ready to head over to Lady Decor's School for Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and roll me a society check. Mm-hmm. Grimshaw, I'll give you a bonus to this since you're from here. Just to give you a background on this place.
What was that? What was that, John?
23.
That laugh.
I did very well.
Oh, okay. I did too. Wow.
I just imagine, like, Grim says, like, I don't really remember much about this place, and Benson's, like, rattling off the founding.
Yeah. Oh, I heard about this. I read it in a book once.
Benson was bored in the whatever embassy and grabbed a pamphlet.
No, as we were drinking our lattes, he was reading a pamphlet that was on the floor. He's like, what about this?
He heard when he was young there was people, like, learning how to sword fight, and he was just like, I gotta learn about that.
Alright, so, what'd you guys get total?
32.
I got third. Wait, you go first.
32.
32.
Oh, okay. Really? 32?
Hey,
buddies! 32! You both get a critical success.
Yeah, Grimshaw's from here.
So you guys know that Lady Decour's School for Girls was founded by Lady Meliari Decour, and it is now a haven for half-elves of wealthy but not aristocratic backgrounds. Its curriculum is considered exceptional in language, arts, world history, and music, but also quirky and somewhat impractical. A critical success is to know that you've also heard rumors of the school's secret connection to a spy network called the Lacuna Facts.
How many fucking spy networks are there in this town?
The big Z.
You have to diversify your resources, Benson.
Yeah.
like think about it. The Bellflower network was just compromised. We've got a whole other network that's not compromised.
At least we think. We don't know yet.
That's true.
Like, we're gonna approach the school and there's just dead bodies everywhere. Of, like,
oh my gosh.
And just all these girls with rapiers just stabbing people. Are like, alright, they're fine.
But it's like specifically for halflings, though?
Half-elves, I thought so.
Yeah.
Benson will get to the gates and there'll be, like, fighting happening, but he's like, I can't go in. It's an all-girls school.
I can't go in there.
Sorry, not allowed.
Well, Kezra asks for an espresso to go and leaves.
Sure. Alright. So as you guys approach, the curiously shaped building is made of Kentargo's typical silver-streaked pale stone, but is covered in sinuous carvings of vine, trees, and flowers. Narrow windows punctuate these carvings, adding to the distinct look in a way that invokes elven architecture. Five doors shaped like narrow Gothic arches form the building's entrance.
This is a fascinating little place here.
Benson's just running in.
He just gets rejected out. Just, whoa!
Sir. So you get there and it looks completely fine. You, like, walk in, there's, like, staff. There's, you know, schools. There's, like, the schoolgirls running around doing schoolgirl things. All of it seems relatively normal.
Like, suspiciously too normal?
No. It looks like you walked in and you're just like, are they sure that they sent agents of evil here? Like, you're confused.
Any dead bodies of cultists around?
I'm going to see if I can get in contact with, like, a contact here.
They're just sweeping up a body and just depositing and everything is normal.
Oh, this guy cultist died like a bitch. Just sweep him away.
I'm going to see someone, like, maybe like a passerby, maybe look like faculty or staff, a teacher, and I think I'm just going to say something like,
the Silver City shines quite brightly today. It would be a shame to hide a rose under a glass.
Right, and you're using double speak, guys?
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were like making a veiled threat. Like, what? It shines bright today. It'd be a shame if somebody knocked it over.
Tell me what's going on here. You're all going to die.
The more you keep talking, the more the rapier kid is coming out of the sheath. Just, you get one of the administrative people, and she goes, oh. I assume you want to see Lady Decour.
Grimshaw just kind of almost solemnly nods. Very, very stern, very serious. Like,
yeah, so this is a boarding school, so remember, they have very, very strict standards. Yeah. So she, her school administrative uniform is, like, perfectly, like, pressed and clean and everything like that. Very military, almost like, and she goes, please follow me. I believe you have a great interest. And so she takes you through a bunch of hallways and winding so as almost to confuse you as you know, she's walking through the hall.
Yeah.
As you get to a certain point, she opens up doors and then they go downstairs. As she begins walking down, she takes you to a room when she, as she goes to open up the door, another woman comes out. Sort of like she was reaching for the doors, and then the doors open anyway. Flanked by two tall half-elf girls, this graceful woman is the image of elven elegance. Dressed in flowing silken robes with delicate patterns of grapevines, she sports an elaborate silver diadem atop smooth scarlet hair that falls past her waist. Stopping noiselessly in delicate slippers, her hands clasped, she nods politely. "When troubles come, they come not singly," she remarks with a slight smile. "How can we help you?"
"I thought when we arrived, I'd be asking the same question. But it seems as if you might have already taken out the trash."
"No, we have not taken out the trash yet."
"So you have not... Has any word of the fighting around the city gotten to you?"
She looks you back and forth and says, "Fighting tried to come to us, but appears they underestimated little girls." And she steps to the side, and you see a few Scarlet Triad members tied up.
Now we're getting somewhere.
I knew I liked these women.
I'll see you guys next time.
Hey. Let's aerate some cultists. My God.
Yes.
Maybe we should stop killing people and ask some questions.
Nah.
Hello there. This is Mark from the Dragon Punch Squad, here to let you in on a deal going on for all you loyal listeners out there. Greenleaf Geek is an excellent crafter within your favorite polyhedral shapes, and if you use the code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD, you get 10% off your next order of dice. A variety to choose from, with crisp edges and some fun ones like their perihedral shapes with that have little cats in the middle, or the Barbenheimer set. Again, use Dragon Punch Squad during checkout for 10% off. See you next time.